All right, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. We start Advent this Sunday, and Advent is a four-week journey to Christmas Day. Hope, love, joy, and peace are the four Sundays. So we're going to take the next 4 weeks and talk about each of those topics leading up to Christmas Day on the 25th. So I'm talking about hope today. Psalm 42 and 43. The first verses of that are ones that are very familiar to you. They say, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O Lord. And a lot of us know that verse, and we may quote it or we may remember it because we just love Jesus. And it seems like such a beautiful scene as this deer is thirsty for water and it goes to drink, and there's that nourishment and that refreshment. And it seems like such a nice context to that verse. But when you read it through, there's nothing nice about what's going on in this person's life that's writing Psalm 42 and 43. The two Psalms actually, they should go together as one Psalm. And back a number of years ago, I don't know who made the decision to divide them. I think maybe when the scripture moved from Hebrew to Greek with the Septuagint, there was a separation. But if you read them together, you can see clearly that Psalm 42 and 43 actually go together as one song. And it's called a maskil. Maskil is a weird word. A maskil is a song with a meaning. Or like we have our fables, that it's a story with a meaning behind it. That's what this is, but in song form. That this is a song with a meaning. And my hope and my prayer today, that we will all go away with the meaning of hope inside of us. The subheading of the psalm says, the sons of Korah. Who are the sons of Korah? They're the worship leaders. They were Levites who would lead the procession in worship. So in other words, when the armies would come back into the city, or when the king was being presented, that the worship leaders would go before them. And they would sing praises unto God. And these sons of Korah would lead that praise. And they would generate the joy and the celebration and the excitement as people came into the city. But we see right away in these passages that the sons of Korah, whichever one is writing this particular psalm, they're not leading in celebration anymore. There's mourning. There's grieving. There's memory of what was but now is not. Most likely writing in the time of either the captivity in Babylon or the captivity in Assyria. They have no country anymore. There is no joy anymore. There are no triumphal processions anymore. There's no glory days. And this author is writing saying, I remember those days. I remember leading in triumphant celebration, but now those days are gone. Instead, they're replaced with grief. Those days are replaced with hurt and pain and mourning, and there's no more hope. There's no joy. There's no celebration. Instead, there's despair. But this author begins to write, and he writes a song. And in the song, you can tell his soul searching is going on. His struggle with what was and now is. With the glory that was and now the hurt that is. With what there was so much joy and so much life and so much energy in Jerusalem, in the nation, and now there's despair. Now there's mocking about, where is your God? He's walking through all of this and he's struggling with trying to figure out what is happening and where is God? You ever been there in your life? When you ask that question in your mind, what is happening and where is God in this? That's what this person is going through. And if you're answering in your mind, no, I've never been through that, can I just let you know that you will? You will. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Journey with me as we walk through this psalm. And as three times in these two, 42 and 43, he says this phrase. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? It's not a bad question. It's actually a very good question. He's trying to get underneath the surface. He's trying to get down deeper into what is really going on. Although everything around me is falling apart and chaotic, what's really happening? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And he responds to himself, put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He answers his own question. He's answering it by faith, but he's repeating it over and over and over again. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He's looking for hope. He's looking for something at this moment he's struggling to find. He's having hardships that makes hope hard to grasp. Kind of like a slippery fish that you try to grab it and it squirts through your hands. God, as soon as I grab it, it's gone. Where'd it go? And he's battling this inside of himself. Well, let's walk through some points here to help us understand. And the chapters are too long to read, so I'm sprinkling my comments as we go and giving you the references. When you have more questions than answers, we need hope. When you have more questions than answers, you ever been there? I got more questions than I have answers for, and I don't know where to turn. There's 13 questions in these two Psalms. Six of them are repeated in that phrase, why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed? But other than that, there are more questions, and he keeps asking over and over and over again, when, where, why? When is a question of frustrated timing. He says, when, God, can I come and meet with you? Where? When? When will I feel your presence again, is what he's saying. Where? When you get frustrated and you feel like God is not with you. The enemies are saying, where's your God? And he's wondering himself, where'd he go? Where are you, God? And why? This really is the key question, and it's a good question. It's a search for truth. It's a search for reasons. Why, God? You need hope when God seems far away. Why is this happening? Why must I hurt so badly? Why is my soul so downcast and disturbed? Verse 42 and 41, it says, when can I meet with you? That timing issue. I want to recall the story of Lazarus, and some of you remember it. From the New Testament, Jesus' close friends, maybe the closest friends he has outside of the 12 disciples, their sisters Mary and Martha and brother Lazarus. And Lazarus gets deathly ill. And while he's near death, the message comes to Jesus, who's in a faraway city. Please come. Please come. Lazarus is dying. Now these are close people. Like these are people you would run to in a moment when they had need. And instead, Jesus doesn't run to them. Jesus, he waits a few days before he responds. And his communication to the disciples are, it's going to be okay. He arrives at the home and Lazarus is already dead. Mary and Martha are struggling. Wouldn't you? You call for Jesus, the Messiah. He doesn't show up when he's supposed to show up. When God's timing doesn't meet with your timing. He should have been there and he wasn't. He should have answered and he didn't. He knew my timetable and he didn't respond. You ever been there? And Martha speaks up to him and says, Jesus, if you only would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Jesus responds with that great verse, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And Martha doesn't quite get it. Oh, I know, in the last day. In the end, we'll all be resurrected. I know the theology, Jesus. And he goes, oh, no, you really don't understand. And he goes out to the tomb and he calls Lazarus out. And there was greater glory as a result of Jesus' pausing. Sometimes we don't understand Jesus' timing. When, Jesus? When are you going to answer? When are you going to meet my need? When can I move here, have this new job, get this, have this healing? When, Lord? This reminds you that he's there. And God's plan is always bigger and better than ours. Where are you, God? Verse 42, 3 and 10. When you have an agenda, Mary and Martha, if you had just been there, he would not have died. Jesus knew all along he was going to resurrect him. Well, Lazarus died again, but in that moment, the glory of God was revealed in a way that he hadn't revealed at any other time. Where are you, God? Why have you forgotten me? Verse 42, or chapter 42, verse 9. Have you forgotten me, God? You can hear Mary and Martha. Have you forgotten us? Well, I thought we were close. I recall a father saying that a number of years ago when his 15-year-old daughter had cancer and she was dying. And he actually wrote a poem crying out to God. And in the sanctuary, we had a memorial service for a 15-year-old girl and her father crying out, "Come on, man!" And the only way he could describe it in his poem, multiple, "Come on, man! Come on, God! Are you there? Come on! You can do this!" But why is my little girl suffering, and why did she die? Where are you, God? Why have you rejected me? Psalm 43, verse 2. Well, if you're powerful and you're good and you're mighty and your promises are intact, then the problem must be me. Why have you rejected me? I'm probably just not good enough for you. My problem just isn't big enough. You must be somewhere else handling big things. I hear about all kinds of people that get miracles. I hear about people getting healed. I hear about people getting provision. It never happens to me. I hear people talk about hearing God's voice and having answers to prayer. It doesn't happen to me. So I must be the problem. When life seems to be falling apart, there's hope there too. Men say to me all day long, verse 42, verse 3, or chapter 42, verse 3, "Where's your God? Where is he? I thought you were a believer. I thought you trusted God. I thought you had faith. Where is he now?" And the mockeries and it spins inside of our head. Why must I go about mourning? Verse 9 and verse 2. I'm a child of God. I serve. I give. I'm faithful. Why is this happening to me? Why do I have to hurt like this? And then finally he starts to come to his senses. In all of that questioning, "Have you forgotten me? Why have you rejected me? Where is your God? What's going on? I remember the days." He says, "Why? Let's go deeper. Why, my soul, are you so downcast?" He's not saying why. Why is the problem happening? They find that fascinating. He's not saying, "Why is this thing happening?" He's saying, "Why is my soul downcast in the midst of the thing?" That's what he's asking. And that's a great question. Because you see, what's happening in his mind, the circumstances and the goodness of God are not fitting with what he believes. And there's a disconnect, but he knows God is good, and he knows God is loving, and he knows God is true, and he knows God is a comforter. But he's not experiencing that. But instead of questioning God, instead of questioning the circumstance, he's questioning his own response. And I love that because I want to be like that guy. When things go crazy around me, I don't want to be the person who says, "God, why did this happen?" I want to be the person that says, "God, how should I react in this thing? Why so downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" Well, there's good reason. I'm exiled. My enemies are mocking me. It feels like I've been rejected, forgotten, and hopeless. That's why my soul is downcast. That's why it's so disturbed. But that's not really the reason. Things happen all the time. Can we find hope in the truth of God even when things are falling apart? And he starts to come to his senses. And he's writing this song as he's coming to his senses. Why? There must be a deeper answer. There must be something else. Because I know God to be true. But my soul is upset. It's not right within me. So he goes through a process. This is really what I want to get us to today. This question is a good question. It's filled with honesty and truth. And he gets to verse 7. It's a very strange verse. It says, deep calls to deep. Kind of poetic, a little bit lyrical, but it's filled with meaning. When you get at your lowest, when you get at that bare, raw, just stripped down, there's nothing left. There's no more reasoning power. There's no more grasping at hope. There's no more branch, olive branch to grab. You just get down to that deep, bare place and you cry out to God, God, my soul is disturbed within me. And the depth, that honesty to God in the depth of your heart calls out to the deepness in God's love. And as your deep calls to his deep responds to your deep. God's deep will meet you when you're willing to just get raw before him. When you're willing just to say, God, I'm going to just be honest. Here's the way I feel. My soul is downcast. My soul is disturbed within me. God, you're the only one that can come to me. And my deep feels like I've been forgotten. My deep feels like I've been rejected. My deep feels like the mockers are overwhelming me. My deep feels like I've got no other answers. And God's deep responds to him and says, yeah, but those are lies. I've not forgotten you. Those are lies. I've not rejected you. Those are lies. I'm right here, no matter what the mockers say. Those are lies. What's really happening is bad. I know that, but I'm with you in the bad. I'm with you in the broken. I'm with you in the chaotic. I'm with you in the pain. I'm with you no matter what. And all those, when deep calls to deep, the lies start to be exposed for what they really are. And as the lies get exposed, the writer starts to understand and get some clarity. Then he says in verse 642, he says, I will remember you. He shifts then from the external struggle to the presence of God. Then God, I don't necessarily feel it right now, but as I'm crying out to you in my deep, you start to help me recall. And I remember. That's right. You never forget me. That's right. You never abandon me. That's right. When I'm at my lowest, you're even lower than to lift me up. That's right. When I humble myself before the Lord, you will be my source. You will be my supporter. You will be my foundation. That's right. You are God. And his deep journey starts to bring these to recall. And the Holy Spirit helps him. He says, I will remember you. Church, when you're going through your deepest and your lowest, we cry out to God in honesty. And we really need him to respond. He'll start to bring who he is to your mind. He'll start to help you recall who he really is. Am I not the true love? Am I not the unchangeable, faithful God? Is my word not the anvil upon which many lying hammers have been broken upon? Am I not the gentle high priest? Am I not the creator of the universe? Am I not the soon and coming king? And in that memory, that difficulty starts to diminish in his soul. It's still real in reality. It's still there, but in his soul, it's diminishing. In his soul, it's slowly, slowly shrinking, and God's reality is gradually growing as that separation from the downcast starts to happen. He says in verse 4 of 43, I will go to the altar of God. I remember you, God. You're real, you're true, and everything else I'm hearing that's causing my soul to be downcast is lies. I will refocus on you, and I will go to your altar. What do you do at an altar? You lay a sacrifice on it. That's what altars are for. That's what he's saying. I will now lay myself on the altar. I'll go to the altar, and I will submit to you. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Wait a minute. God is truth. And this struggle I'm having, I need to lay it on the altar. I need to lay it down and say, God, your will, not mine. As your will in heaven, I want it in earth, in my life. And he says, I will praise him. 42:5, 11, 43:5, he repeats it. I will praise him. As I lay myself on the altar, the feelings of downcast begin to dissipate, and now I can change from why so downcast to I will praise. And that shift occurs. That's where the hope is, church. The hope is where we shift from that, what is going on, to God, you're so good. For I'm falling apart, to you're with me no matter what. I feel like I'm getting just pummeled by a tidal wave, but you are the one who causes me to rise above the waters. But God, I feel like I'm not going to make it. You will always make it because I've got you. And we begin to praise him. And he begins to lift us. And he pulls us out. And he raises our spirits in the midst of that battle. In chapter 42:5, 11:43-5, he says, I will put my hope in God. He shifted his whole mindset. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Wait a minute. I will put my hope in God, and I will praise him, my Savior and my God. And the journey finds its end with him saying, I'm good now. The world is still crazy, but I'm good inside. And that's the beauty of being born again, church. Are you guaranteed that you're never going to suffer? No. Are you guaranteed difficult times will never happen? No. We just prayed for a precious family whose home burned down and they're left with nothing. And it's easy to say, God, where are you? Why am I so downcast in my soul because my home burned down? Well, that makes sense to me. My soul would be downcast if my home burned down. But yet, my soul can have hope. My soul can have joy and celebration in it, even when that kind of thing happens. And that's what makes a follower of Jesus Christ so distinct from the world. Because they hear what I'm saying right now, and they're going, you are just crazy insane. That makes no sense. My response is, well, yeah, because you don't know God. You can. You can know him. God will direct his love. Verse 8, verse 3, 42:8, 42:3. Says, God will direct his love and put a song in your heart. He will guide you with his truth. It's powerful, isn't it? In the midst of all of that struggle, he will put a song in your heart. He will guide you with his truth. That's the joy of the Lord. That's our strength. I don't know where you are today. Christmas time can get tough for people. For some, it's just so joyous and fun. For others, it's a time that they just dread. And that dread is something that could be written like this. Why so downcast? Jesus, God, why during Christmas is my soul so downcast? Can I invite you to walk through this author's process? Go to him honestly. Say, God, I just don't like what's happening in my heart right now. I don't like it, and here's why. Because I feel like I've been forgotten. I feel like I've been left out. I feel like you've forgotten me. But God, I know you're there. And I will remember you. As my deep calls to your deep, I will remember you. And I will lay my life on the altar. Say, not my will, but yours be done. And as I do, I will praise you. And I'll put my hope in you. And the Lord God will put a song in your heart. He'll replace the downcast with joy, the disturbed with the internal spiritual relief that you so desire. Put your hope in God, my Savior and my God. And then to Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government, and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the one who will reign on David's throne, the one whose kingdom will never end, the one who will accomplish this. It's coming. Don't worry. Friday hurts, but Sunday's coming. Why so downcast? Follower of Christ? Well, Pastor, because life is terrible right now. Okay. But let's have your soul get some relief. Let's have your soul be in the right place so that even in the midst of the worst, you can be at your most joyous at this Christmas time. Because our Lord God is a God of hope. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that each one of us can put our hope in God. You are our Savior and our God. And I pray, Lord, that no matter where we are, that we will be honest before you and let our deep call to your deep. And we will remember you. We will lay our lives on the altar. We will yet praise you and we will put our hope in you. And God, you will lead us in your truth with a song in our heart. We need that today. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to ask you to respond to that. Maybe you may be really, really just connected with this psalmist who's writing, man, life is tough right now. I really, really need the hope of God. If that's you this morning, just slip up a hand, put it back down, pray. Yeah, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, yeah. Others want to join them? Yeah, thank you, thank you, yeah, see you. See you. Say, Pastor, my heart is... My soul is downcast right now. My soul is disturbed. Anybody feeling that? Need his hope? Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? I'd like to ask you, you just pray. Just because I'm praying doesn't mean you can't pray. So you pray. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to invade right now. Father, in Jesus' name, as we stand before you, needing your Holy Spirit to come and invade our hearts, we remember you, Lord. You are the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. We ask you, Lord, to remind us who you are, to chase away the lies. You've not forgotten. You've not overlooked. You've not rejected. You're right here, right now. I pray in Jesus' name that each one would now lay their heart on the altar. Say, God, no matter what I feel like, I will trust you. No matter how hard it is right now, I will trust you. No matter how painful it is, I will trust you. No matter how empty I feel, I will trust you. And I will turn from downcast to praise. And I will praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Can we just praise him for a moment right now? Just praise him and tell him you love him. Let's do it. Just do it verbally. Come on, church. Let's go. Jesus, we love you. We love you and we praise you. You are the healer. You are the Savior. You are the Redeemer. You are the gracious one. You are the merciful one. You are the comforting one. You are the kind one. You are the gentle one. You are the patient one. And we praise you. You are stronger than anything we'll ever face. You are near no matter what we feel. God, we will praise you. And we will put our hope in you. Lord, these circumstances don't mean you're not there, and they're not going to last forever, but you will. One day I'm going to see you face to face. But right now, I embrace you with all I've got. I put my hope in you. Let's pray this prayer together. Say it out loud with me. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? I will put my hope in God. Yet will I praise Him, my Savior and my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray that in, church. Let's pray that in. As Pastor Sean just plays some music, let's let this be a place where downcast and disturbed souls become joyous again. It can happen just in that moment of surrender. The elders will come. They'll be at the corners if you want to pray with one of them. If you've got a particular need, please do. Pray with them. Otherwise, I ask you not to be in a rush today. Don't be in a rush. Of course, if you've got to go, please go without judgment. But let's pray this in. If you're not downcast today, it may come tomorrow. And you're going to need these verses then. Praise His holy name. Let's pray together. God bless you if you have to go. And if you stay, let's linger and just experience His love. Pastor Sean.
need you now. How I need you. Rock, rock of ages, standing on your faithfulness. Who come let's adore him. Who come let us adore you. Who come let's adore.
Jesus, in this moment right now, Father, all the busyness falls away and we find ourselves next to you. You've never left us. Never forsaken us. I pray, Father, that as we go from this place, Lord God, we continue to remind ourselves that you're always with us, that you'll never leave. You're the same God. Pray, Father, that we'd glorify your name. That out of the abundance of love in our hearts, Father, that we would love those around us and glorify you. I pray that we'd receive all that it is that you're teaching us. You're speaking to us, Lord God, even now. We need you. May you be glorified in and through us as we go today. It's in your great love we pray. Amen. Amen.